Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon. I am one of the pastors here at Legacy. Last week, we kicked off our movie series. We talked about pride, the mother of all sin, and we combat the sin of pride in us through humility, and really what we do right here. Worship is one of the things we do every week that reminds ourselves that there is a God and we are not it. We learned through the growth in humility of Tony Stark, known as Iron Man, his growth of humility, and we learned about the downfall, the fall into pride, through King Uzziah in the Old Testament. A king in Israel who started well, but he believed the lie that he was the one that did it all. He started to believe the lie that he had all the success, he did it, and not God. And so may we be a people that keep having this weekly reality check. We keep coming to worship saying there's a God and there's not it, and we're not it. And we have a daily reality check through prayer and scripture. Today, we move to our second deadly sin, envy. Now, envy shares some connections with greed. Both are about insatiable desire, desires that can never be satisfied. Greed is primarily about stuff, about money, but envy can be about absolutely anything. Envy is particularly ugly when you desire things simply because others have them and you don't. If you struggle with envy, not only do you want something someone else has, but you cheer when they lose the object of your desire. Watch this.
The prophecy states that you are the special, the most talented.
I'm not sure he's the special, actually.
As he is more fair than me.
Snow White.
Some people are drenched, freezing to death on a stupid boat with a stupid hat, while others are in a comfy news studio, sucking up all the glory. Oh well, no big deal.
Hey, a laser! How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser, it's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
But she's something, and I'm nothing.
That clown doesn't have half your talent, and he's making a fortune.
Brilliant. That makes me feel loads better.
Life's not fair, is it? You see, I shall never be king.
Do you mean Peter will be king too?
No. But a king needs sex.
Yes, it is a mistake, because you see, the bed here is my spot.
Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Attachment leads to jealousy.
I want to be just like you.
We can be envious about anything. Where a person lives, their job, their looks, how tall or how short they are, how funny they are, how much money they have, where they go to on vacation, or the fact they have time to take vacations. Social media seems specifically designed for us to envy each other. From the selfies we take to the places that we travel, if we're not careful, envy takes root just as we're scrolling through each other's social media feeds. Psalm 73 speaks about a person who knows God, but they're having a really hard time seeing it because of their present circumstances. They write, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like somebody else." It's somebody who's struggling with envy. You read through the rest of this psalm, and the author knows that God is good, but can't quite reconcile it with what they're seeing in their own lives. The writer envies the easy lifestyle of the wicked and forgets that God is good to the brokenhearted and the good-hearted. In the end, as you keep reading, the just rewards will be received. We can get so stuck in envy that we lose contentment. We see around us in the world, we see on the various devices that we use, that other people have no problems. Their lives are perfect, which we know in our better moments, it's just not true. We must learn to grow contentment in all things. We've got to stop letting envy grow and take root. We dream up scenarios that other people have absolutely perfect lives with zero problems, and they make loads of money working 1 hour a week. We ask, why can't my life be like that? Why can't I have that job? Why can't I go over here? Why can't I have him or her for a boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse? Why can't I look like that? I go to the gym more than they do. I don't. It's just not fair. Now, one of the first stories in Scripture centers around envy. It's the story of Cain and Abel. They are brothers. We pick up their story right at the top of Genesis 4. When they, Cain and Abel, grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now the brothers are worshiping, they're offering sacrifices to God, and God likes Abel's more than Cain's. Abel has offered his best, Abel has offered his first fruits to God, and Cain, well, he's offered his leftovers. It's no surprise that God prefers Abel's sacrifice. Instead of upping his gain, instead of giving God his best, instead of his leftovers, Cain lets the sin of envy take complete control, and he murders his brother Abel. That is what happens when envy takes control, complete control, in a person's life. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. And friends, that's true for each and every one of us. But we have a freedom, the power with Jesus, to choose good over evil, as well as the responsibility to not give in to our base passions. Cain chose to commit a crime against the very image of God, his brother, for Pete's sake, and willingly succumbed to this temptation to do so. Now, if you flip it, envy can be a good thing in the right way, in the proper perspective. And as a matter of fact, every single one of these seven deadly sins, they are a distortion. They miss the mark of a good gift that God wants every one of us to have. All of the seven deadly sins are actually a distortion of good things God wants for us. If Abel had taken Cain's positive sacrifice and viewed it as a challenge to get better, a little self-improvement, that is good envy. When we are inspired by someone's commitment to their job, their family, their faith, their health, it makes us improve for the better. That is good envy. That is constructive envy that helps us improve in our areas of our lives. Envy is a sin when it's disabling. It's a sin when it's all we think about. We can't think about the stuff that we can't have. It's a sin when it's, and we're not improving, when all we can think about is hoping that for this other person to fail, when we're cheering when they lose their job or their faith or their health, or man, in really dark moments, their family. Envy is a sin when we're more like Cain instead of Abel. And the root cause of envy, it's our eyes. The word envy literally means evil eye. And when we start adjusting our eyesight, our passions, to desire something from someone else, that's when envy sets in. When we take our eyes off of seeking contentment and patience in Jesus, when we start focusing on the thing we want instead of shaking our lives on Jesus, envy takes hold. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, something else is quickly going to take that center place, and it, so often than not, it is envy that comes in there. Now, one of my favorite films that shows envy is the 1995 classic Toy Story. Now, we tend to think animated films are just for kids, but my goodness, this one is not. It was the first computer animated film. In this story, Woody the cowboy has the perfect life. He loves his lot in life, what he has to do in Andy's room to manage the toys, until one day this upstart space toy named Buzz ruins everything. Watch this.
Watch yourself. Boom. Buzz, who goes there?
Don't shoot.
It's okay. Friends.
Do you know these life forms?
Yes. They're Andy's toys.
All right, everyone, you're clear to come up. I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not a dinosaur.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, thank you all for your kind welcome.
Say, what's that button do?
I'll show you.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Oh.
Hey, Woody's got something like that. His is a pull strength. Only
it sounds like a car ran over it.
Oh, yeah, but not like this one. This is a quality sound system. Probably all copper wiring, huh? So, where are you from? Singapore? Hong Kong?
Well, no. Actually, I'm stationed up in the Gamma Quadrant of Sector 4. As a member of the elite Universe Protection Unit of the Space Ranger Corps, I protect the galaxy from the threat of invasion from the evil Emperor Zurg, sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance.
Oh, really? I'm from Play School.
And I'm from Mattel. Well, I'm not really from Mattel. I'm actually from a smaller company that was purchased in a leveraged buyout. Well, I don't really...
You think they've never seen a new toy before?
Well, sure. Look at him. He's got more gadgets on him than a Swiss Army knife.
Please be careful. You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
All right, that's enough. Look, we're all very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me. I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys present.
Getting kind of tense, aren't you?
Mr. Lightyear, now I'm curious. What does a space ranger actually do?
He's not a space ranger. He doesn't fight evil or shoot lasers or fly.
Excuse me.
Oh, impressive wingspan. Very good.
Oh, what? What? These are plastic. He can't fly.
They are a pterillium carbonic alloy, and I can fly.
No, you can't.
Yes. I can.
You can.
Can. I tell you, I could fly around this room with my eyes closed.
Okay, then, Mr. Lightbeer, prove it.
All right, then I will. Stand back, everyone. To infinity and beyond!
I found my moving buddy.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
That wasn't flying. That was falling with style.
Woody deals with envy, and that's the entire film. Kane dealt with envy. So how do we know if we're dealing with envy in our own lives? There's four symptoms. First, I compare myself to others. Research says kids as young as seven years old start comparing themselves to each other. They notice the things that set us apart. And we compare ourselves to one another, and it becomes a problem when we don't see how we see the differences for complementing each other, but to cut each other down. Now, Paul, the first century church planter, reminds us of this. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying each other." That is such an accurate picture of what envy can do. We bite and devour each other. Instead of being thankful and content and grateful for what other people have, we bite and devour each other instead. Envy makes it seem like devouring one another is appropriate when it is not. Just the second symptom. I want what is yours. Now, it's absolutely what happens at our house, and this really happened when our kids were a little younger, when our children are playing with toys. There's a toy collecting dust in the corner, and as soon as one child starts to play with it, the other child decides there's nothing more on earth they want than that toy that was previously collecting dust in the corner because their sibling has it. A fight ensues, and I end up having to put the toy on top of the fridge, leading to two screaming and crying children. Fun times. I'm sure this only happens at my house. I want what is yours. We learn this really early. We do this not only with possessions, but we do this with character traits and social status. I want the friend network you have. I want that person to be my friend, like he, she is yours. We can be a people envious of so many things, never content or satisfied with the way God made us. Instead of looking to improve and enhance the gifts and talents God has given us, we envy other people's gifts, and we squander and we waste what God has given us. Third, I want you to envy me. We learn at an early age what things we can brag about, what attributes we can brag about in ourselves. We broadcast the things we're really good at, and we hide the things we're not so good at. We want people to envy our status. Social media only makes all this much more worse and profound, as we can even judge our value based upon how many likes, retweets, mentions, snaps, whatever it is that we get. We craft personas online that are perfect, bragged-up pictures of human beings that are not real. We see pictures of families with the perfect family photos and wonder why that cannot be us. Now, you can Google real-life family photos if you want to see what it takes to actually make a good family photo. We see those cute first day of school pictures, and I bet something like this actually has it running behind them. A mad rush to get out the door because an alarm didn't go off, or because we're dragging our feet and we're not into school mode yet. When we only put our perfect selves out there, we give this impression that we've got it all together, when we all know that's not true. At least it's not true of me, for sure. The final symptom of envy is I want you to fail. I want you to fail. When we can't try to take the possession from somebody else or get their status or gifts or abilities, we start hoping and even praying that a person will fail. Instead of cheering on and encouraging a person to do even better, to make an already great talent incredible, we can start actively hoping for this person to fail. When you try to break up a relationship so you can be with that person, a boyfriend or girlfriend instead, that's a serious case of a sin of envy. Research says that 80% of our criticisms, 80% of our criticisms of each other aren't actually constructive, they're actually envy. Most of our criticisms of each other are envy. They're not helpful at all. If you wonder if you're dealing with the sin of envy today, this is it. That is the diagnostic tool to figure out if you are or not. If you've got one or more of those active in your life, you are struggling with envy. It's what happened to Cain and Abel. That's exactly number four, is what happened to them. Cain wanted Abel to fail so much that he killed him. Is Woody, our faithful cowboy toy, also going to give in to the sin of envy? Watch this.
Pizza Planet? Oh, cool!
Go wash your hands and I'll get Molly ready.
Can I bring some toys?
You can bring one toy.
Just one?
One toy? Will Andy pick me?
Don't count on it! Oh! Ah! Buzz! Oh, Buzz! Buzz Lightyear! Buzz Lightyear, thank goodness! We've got trouble!
Trouble? Where?
Down there! Just down there! A helpless toy! He's trapped, Buzz!
Then we've no time to lose! I don't see anything.
He's there. Just keep looking.
I'm trying to talk.
Driveway.
I think he bounced into Sid's yard.
Oh, Buzz!
Hey, everyone! RC's trying to say something!
What is it, boy?
He's saying that this was no accident.
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean Humpty Dumpty was pushed.
No.
By Woody!
What?
Wait a minute. You don't think I meant to knock Buzz out the window, do you, Potato Head?
That's Mr. Potato Head to you, you backstabbing murderer.
Now, it was an accident, guys. Come on. Now, you gotta believe me.
We believe you, Woody. Right, Rex?
Well, I don't like confrontations.
Where is your honor, dirtbag? You are an absolute disgrace. You don't deserve to. Hey!
Couldn't handle Buzz cutting in on your playtime, could you, Woody? Didn't want to face the fact that Buzz just might be Andy's new favorite toy. So you got rid of him. Well, what if Andy starts playing with me more, Woody, huh? You're gonna knock me out of the window, too?
I don't think we should give him the chance.
Here he is, man! Drag him!
Let's string him up by his pull string!
I've got gifts on his head!
Would you boys stop it?
Tackle him!
No, wait. I can explain everything!
Hey, Mom, be right down. I've got to get Buzz.
Envy is not pretty, and even our favorite cowboy toy succumbs to it, too. When envy takes root in our lives, God gets knocked out of the center, and whatever object or person we're desiring gets replaced, and our entire lives get thrown out of balance. We end up like the scriptures that we looked at that describe people that are just overcome with jealousy and anger and outbursts and division instead. So, how do we deal with envy? How do we purge ourselves of those four diagnostic things we saw earlier? It's to grow contentment in our lives, no matter where we are at today. Today, in this summer day in June, we need to be content with where God has placed us. Now, this doesn't mean we don't strive to make changes, we don't strive to grow, to go to a different job, or to make different other changes in our lives. It means we try to grow and to change from a place of contentment. We are content where we are, and then attempt to make the changes we want to make. We don't try to grow and to change out of discontentment and envy. One of those leads only to further and further frustration. The other gives us peace, whether or not we grow or change to hit the target or the goal that we wanted. Now, Paul, the first century church planter, reminds us that we need to be content with where we are. And to empathize with others is one of the ways we do that to show our contentment. The end of Romans, he writes this. He says, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy for those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all." Paul reminds us to take the focus off of ourselves, to get our eyes off ourselves, and to focus on other people. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Contentment makes all of that possible. Contentment makes those positions able to happen. And did you notice we even mentioned pride in this passage too? Don't think you know it all. Enjoy the company of regular people. Keep your pride in check. Make room that other ordinary people might even know better than you. Now, we all know people who suffer with envy and are never content with anything, never satisfied with where they are at this present moment, and not in a good way. They might have a business that grows by leaps and bounds. They've got a huge house and vehicles and a salary that anybody would love. Yet every time you chat with them, they are discontent. There's always something more to be had, something else they want to do, a different job they would like. They're literally living the American dream, and they are still discontent. The grass is always greener on the other side. Friends, that is not contentment. That is a serious case of envy. And it's all because of the eye. The eye is not centered on God. It is centered upon all the other stuff the world and culture tells us we need to have. The eye is focused on the next salary range, the next house, the better town over there, and not upon God, who can teach us that we can be content with where we are right now today. The eye is not growing contentment in their spirit. It's actively sowing the sin of envy instead of peace and empathy and patience. Now, by the end of Toy Story, Woody and Buzz finally do get a place of contentment. They are satisfied with their roles, with their lot in life, and as Andy's toys, and for Buzz, not as a space ranger. And they finally come to this place of contentment as they're trapped, and they need each other's help to get out. Watch this.
Hey, Buzz! Hey, get over here and see if you can get this toolbox off me. Oh, come on, Buzz. I can't do this without you. I need your help.
I can't help. I can't help anyone.
Well, sure you can, Buzz. You can get me out of here, and then I'll get that rocket off you, and we'll make a break for Andy's house.
Andy's house, Sid's house. What's the difference?
Oh, Buzz, you've had a big fall. You must not be thinking clearly.
No, Woody. For the first time, I am thinking clearly. You were right all along. I'm not a space ranger. I'm just a toy, a stupid little insignificant toy.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Being a toy is a lot better than being a space ranger.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. Look,
Over in that house is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, and it's not because you're a Space Ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You are his toy.
But why would Andy want me?
Why would Andy want you? Look at you! You're a Buzz Lightyear! Any other toy would give up his moving parts just to be you. You've got wings. You glow in the dark. You talk. Your helmet does that whoosh thing. You are a cool toy. As a matter of fact, you're too cool. I mean, what chance does a toy like me have against a Buzz Lightyear action figure? All I can do is...
There's a snake in my boots!
Why would Andy ever want to play with me when he's got you? I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket. Listen, Buzz, forget about me. You should get out of here while you can. Buzz, what are you doing? I thought you...
Come on, Sheriff. There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
Yes, sir!
That was very biblical. They each took their eyes off each other and helped each other to deal with what they were dealing with. Buzz with Woody's sin of envy. So today, friends, what's your eye truly focused upon? Are you actively seeking God in all that you do, or is envy growing resentment in you instead of peace? May we be a people content with what we have. May we be grateful for the success of others and always keep our eyes locked on Jesus. Let's pray together. Loving God, it has never been easy. To want what other people have, and especially in our world full of screens, it's made it even harder. May your Holy Spirit fill us so may we be content, no matter where we are today, so we can make sure envy does not take root in our hearts. As we grow and as we change and we go to the places you want us to go, may we move and make those changes from a place of contentment in you, no matter what may happen. It is in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.